Welcome to Starfleet Universe Encore. I am Paul France, owner of France Games, of an SAP Online Fed Online and Starfleet Warlord. Just when I have a trust with podcast every 30 seconds starting 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join us on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com and search for quality 17702. And don't forget to bring Chrome or Chromium-based browser. The devil incarnate. And if you want to, you can follow us also on twitch.tv. We have we co-stream there. And to find us there, just go to twitch.tv/SFU on call. Obviously, if you're just using the app, you can just look for SFU on call. You will find that wonderful live stream and hopefully some background videos for if you want to watch those too. It's limited and so forth, but it is what it is. If you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you reach me via Twitter, my podcast account is sfuoncall. Big surprise. And if you need contact, you want to follow my personal account, it's Paul France, PAULFRANZ on Twitter. Just a reminder that I am passionate about my O's, about being Catholic, and technology. So if you don't like any of those, then don't follow me. And of course, if you want to, you can follow Franz Games and talk about just those things involved when it comes to Starfleet Warlord, SFB Online, and anything else. I mean, Franz Games is involved in. And of course, this lovely TalkCast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from ADB this week. Actually, there's not much going on there. You know, they're working on. Obviously, just a reminder that they do have a free copy of Federation Commander. Actually, it's called First Missions. It's not a full set of the rules, but it gives you a good idea of Federation Commander, how it plays, how it feels, and hopefully if you like it, then you could then actually buy a copy. It's available from different e-tailers. You know, Warehouse 23 is the one I usually use. Wargame Vault, another one that should have it, and Drive-Thru RPG is the third one. Moving onward and forward to the SFB Online Tournament. Starfire started tournament number 5. The first round is almost complete, with the most difficult game time-wise yet to be played. And that's just because of one person is in Australia and the other person, I think, they're in California. I don't remember the California one, but I know definitely the Australia one. The person has not been on SFB Online for many, many years. The name of Jason Gray. If you have ever been to Origins, he went to one Origins that I remember him actually flying all the way from Australia to Columbus, Ohio, and actually got to meet the guy in person. And of course, Peter McKeag, you know, he got knocked out of the first round, big surprise, you know, with the Federation versus the Andromeda. Now, the funny part about that one is that Peter in the Andromeda got the first set of internals, the displacement device got knocked out. That is a rare thing to do because you have to have two rolls of those 2d6 to be tooth. Crazy, ain't it? And of course, another surprise of round one was that there was a Seltorian, I forget who flew it at this moment in time. Sorry, I did not write that down, who beat an Orion, which is like, to me, it's totally a surprise. Yes, the Saturn can do it. It's just, I've never seen it done. You know, because to me, the biggest issue with the Saturn, to me, is that it has no tertiary weapon where it can keep people at a distance. You know, for the Fed, he doesn't need it because he's got the photons. If you come too close and they're fully charged, you're in trouble. But, you know, the Saturnian, if you got close in, yeah, it can hurt you. But, you know, the power problem does ensue. Moving onward, when it comes to the SAP Online website, we will be moving to new server starting of next month. I'll be sending out an announcement tonight, so keep an eye out for that. Also, that will require, it might require, depending upon your antivirus solution, because some antivirus solutions, they don't like what I do, which is just contact using IRC to connect to a server. In some cases, so by default, I've been using IP addresses, which of course would need to be changed. Therefore, but you might just have to choose an alternate connection, and that will probably work depending upon the version of the client you currently have. Moving on and forward, when it comes to the library, actually, we do have more FedCom ships. Unfortunately, I have not had time to actually process them. I will process them this weekend, so we'll have more squadron and fleet ships available. Currently, the ones that are part of the library, 364 of squadron size and 265 of the fleet size. My guess is most people want to fly the squadron size anyway, so I'm not too terribly concerned about the 100 or so ships that did not have a fleet size version. And with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's one of the old Paul friends, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight we've got Barry, we've got Dave, and that's it at the moment. The plan is to actually talk to the one, the only Barry Kirk about his opinions on the Carnivans, his take on them, and see what he thinks of them when it comes to the weapons, the ships, and all that. So, let's say hello to Barry. Hey, how you doing, Barry?
Hey there. It's been a day. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. So, any case. Looking at the Carnivan, they have an interesting array of weapons.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad that it's a conjectural race.
Well, okay. My understanding is that they're not really conjectural race. They're conjectural in that later on, after the early years, they're conjectural. But, in the early years, before they were basically genocide occurred and then they were killed. Oh, and they were wiped out. Yep. Which I agree that it would have been nice to have them as part of the general war, in those efforts. Now, as was...
Right.
An idea that had occurred, of course, is that there is the possibility, as far out as it could possibly be, and that is that there, some Carnivans actually escaped the total genocide and, ran off to some corner of the galaxy, which, no one was going to go looking after them, So, in theory, they could be brought back.
Right. Oh, yeah.
But until that moment in time, they're still conjectural when it comes to past the early years. Yes.
Yeah. So, obviously, the normal thing I think of is, what would make a good tournament cruiser for them?
Right.
And so, looking at their heavy cruiser, and it's rated 130 BTVs.
That sounds about right.
And although... with a plus refit, that bumps it up to 133. The 175 refit bumps it up to 135. And I think the 175 refit, I'll give it Psi 6 drone racks. And, or Deathbolt racks.
Yeah, Deathbolt racks, yeah.
So let's look at their weapons. The Disruptor cannon is not interesting. This ship is not it's not a it plays more like a set, I guess, in that it's a two-turn arming weapon, direct fire weapon.
Oh, agreed. But there's two differences. Obviously, the Disruptor cannon, when it comes to normal standard loads, it is a rolling delay.
Right.
And, of course, then there's the to hit. It's a heck of a lot better to hit than a photon. And
oh yeah, in fact, absolutely.
Let me double check the sworn. Let me just double check on the overload energy. Which the overloaded energy requires warp, but the regular loading energy does not require warp. It can be from any source.
Correct.
Which makes it, again, better than the better than the Fed in that regard. Obviously, the great thing about the Fed is that if you have a standard photon, that you can hold it for one point of energy.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but it is more accurate than a photon.
Right.
Yeah. But I guess, yeah.
Right, and okay, that's what I thought. Okay, I wanted to double check on this, which is that it costs less energy overall to load an overloaded disruptor cannon, because it's two in the first turn, and then two with two, at least two warp in the second turn. Now, of course, that does give it a really big issue, because it's the same issue that the Fed has when it comes to having fully overloaded photons, charging fully overloaded photons, which is that 6 points to overload all of the disruptor cannons is 16 points of power in one turn.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, would you ever in my mind, it'd be rare that you actually would do that. You know?
What?
Just because of the cost.
Right. But you can overload on with reserve power.
Right.
And you have enough overload. You don't have enough batteries to overload two of them on reserve power. But I'd say the disruptor cannon kind of is right there in the photon disruptor range.
Oh, agreed. Because, you know, with overload, you almost can get to be as powerful as a photon.
And
the standard,
total
right? And the standard is like an overloaded disruptor, you know,
or standard photon. The same cost and energy as a standard photon.
Right, but it's worse at range 5 to 8. It's only 6 points of damage, but better at range 1, which is 10 points of damage.
Right.
So definitely.
But at 9 to 15, is much more, it's more accurate than the photon.
Right, and actually can actually do more damage too. The 9 to 15.
Well, photon does 8 points of damage.
No. Yes, it does, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but to hit...
It's more accurate than photon.
Right.
Because the photon at 9 to 15, well, 9 to 12, it's damage, its hit number is 1 to 2.
Mm-hmm.
This is double that. But, you know, it's 75% as much damage. And then at 13 to 15, the photon hits on a 1, and this guy hits on a 1 to 4, so it's 4 times more likely to hit at the photon.
Yeah, so it's going to do a heck of a lot more damage at the longer ranges.
Yeah. It's a little bit light in terms of phasers.
Agreed there.
For the heavy phaser, 4P1, right. 4P1s and 5P3s. But then it has the heel nippers, which are very interesting.
Agreed.
And it has the death bolts. And the death bolts are...
Oh, they're interesting.
Sure.
Now, which one do you want to talk about first, the death bolts or the heel nippers?
The heel nippers.
Okay.
So the heel nippers, and there's two ways you can use the heel nipper. You can use it as an anti-drone, and it's very effective in that role. Because it fires, how often does it fire? It fires every 8 inputs. I know it fires 4 times per turn.
Well, okay.
Against sucks.
Right, against shuttles and drones. Size class 6 or smaller. And it can fire once a turn
right.
Against normal, like a normal ship.
Right, right. But against the size 6, and that's something
costs 1 point of warp power to charge it. You can fire it each.
Or quarter
point of power.
Smaller.
For firing against the smallest target, yes. Which is interesting.
Yeah, quarter point against.
Because of, if you look at the way it damages, it is, most part, basically, it's definitely good against drones. In that a speed 20 drone.
Oh, yeah.
It can destroy a speed 20 drone, a type. One speed 20 drone, if it hits, because the additional damage is based on the speed of the drone.
Right.
Yep. You get one if you hit, you get 1 point of damage, and then you get an additional 3 points of damage above. Was it?
So every above speed 12.
Right, speed 12. And I said, no, okay, yeah.
Yeah. How often can it fire against the smaller targets?
It can fire up to 4 times. In one turn.
But is that 4? Okay, but is there a delay between those firings?
That's the one thing I have to double check on. Okay. Given the heel nipper cannot fire more than 4 shots in a given turn, nor can it fire more than 4 shots in a given quarter turn period. So basically there is no delay between the shots, looks like.
Right. So is that 4 shots in an impulse, or is that 4 shots, 1 per impulse?
That's the one question. I was just thinking about that myself, and it's like, okay, I don't see that mentioned at the moment. My assumption is that you can fire them all on the same impulse if you want to, because there's nothing at.
Yeah.
Because I don't see anything. I don't see anything here which mentions that it can't fire them all within the same impulse.
Impulse.
Yeah.
Right.
It just says
Okay.
with, it can't fire more than four
So,
times within a quarter turn.
right. So it's death against shuttles and drones.
Fighters, obviously.
And the best part, and fighters, yeah. And the best part is that against drones, even if it doesn't kill it instantly, it causes it to lose a turn of movement or a movement.
Right.
So, like for yeah, against the suicide shuttle, which might survive it, if you hit that suicide shuttle, that may be enough to prevent it from hitting.
Yep. And then, of course, the interesting weapon, one of those things that's interesting about this weapon is that it basically the shields have no effect. Period.
Right.
It when it
Well,
hits.
yeah, and it does work damage, which it has.
Specific damage
The amount
to.
of damage it does is actually pretty minimal. What's that?
Yeah. The specific, it's specific it's damage to a
Ah,
specific
right.
system. And
Yes, but
I forget.
the more important thing is that it can affect somebody's movement.
Right. Yeah, and you get to target whether
You
you hit
said
the right or
left,
left warp.
center, or right warp.
Yep.
Yeah. And it causes them to turn, lose a movement, and reset their turn and split modes to zero.
Talk about screwing up your opponent.
That's what it does.
Yep, oh.
It screws up your opponent. It
Yep, they lose that movement and
Yeah.
they get turned.
And they get turned.
Yep.
And you get to pick which direction they turn,
Yep.
which can really, really make a huge difference. Like you're planning this whole thing and then whoops, you just lost all maneuverability.
Okay, yeah. I was just double checking on this, which is that if you fire a heel nipper at a engine which is completely destroyed, it doesn't do the damage to the engine, but it still has the effect of the turning.
Yeah. It causes them to lose a movement. So let's say you're going up against somebody with a down shield, or let's say they have weapons that, okay, you've got death bolts coming in, and they're going to fire weapons at this death bolt, and oops, you turn them, and their defensive weapons are out of arc. Oh, well.
Yep. Yep, and
So that's heel nipper. Yeah.
can you imagine if you
Yeah,
got
heel nipper.
yeah, can you imagine if you had a Carnivon chasing you and he's like a little bit off to the right or a little off to the left, fire, he you're he fires the heel nipper, requires you to turn basically into him, and then you get to fire possibly on a down shield.
Yeah. Or if you're riding right up against the wall of the map, and he turns you into the wall.
Mm-hmm. And then of course there's the possibility if you time it right, which is have it so it turns into Deathbolt, which you're sending its way.
Yeah.
So, right. I definitely, it's a really cool weapon. Now, here's the issue that obviously that the Carnivans have, which is you have basically two weapons that require warp. You know, the disruptor cannons are arguably, you know, require warp or not, you know.
Well, yes and no. I mean, a disruptor cannon, only if you overload it, does it require
right.
warp.
That's why I say, you know, arguably.
And the Hill Nipper really only requires 1 point of warp to operate it. Two if you're using it at extended ranges.
Right.
Or, well, I guess you're most likely going to use two power. If you're using it in defensive anti-drone mode, you're only going to use a quarter point of power per shot. So.
Right.
And if you're using it up against the ship, you're most likely going to use 2 points of power just because it's more accurate. You're probably not going to be firing it at longer ranges. Unless it's a desperation move.
Mm-hmm.
Now the death bolt, that's an interesting weapon.
Yeah.
Because it's got so many fiddly bits to it. It starts off, you can fire, unlike, and of course, you know, remember the tachyon missiles, and we had all these, I think the death bolts blow away the tachyon missiles in terms of capability and flexibility.
Oh, yeah. But
that is ultimate drone.
Oh, yeah. But here's the one issue with that is that you start with a standard death bolt. Now, to tweak that death bolt, which you can do in the middle of a scenario, you can tweak it, which is awesome because it allows you to, depending upon the situation at that point in the battle, you can tweak it to be one way or the other. Problem,
requires deck crew action.
Yep, requires one deck crew action, and deck crew action takes 32 impulses.
32
impulses.
Right.
For one deck crew action. So to customize it, after you load it, you know, then you have to have another deck crew action to actually tweak it. So you might not be able to fire a death ball, you know, only every other turn, if you want to tweak them, even a little bit.
Well, it's even worse than that, because it's basically a 32 impulse delay.
Yeah.
You launch one, but it takes...
I'm back.
Oh, okay.
Got kicked
off. For a while there, you went away.
Yeah, I got kicked off. Skype went freaking nuts and it kicked me off.
Okay. So I don't know where I was talking and all of a sudden I realized I wasn't hearing anything.
Yeah, we were talking about death bolts. I was, last thing that I said
right.
was that, you know, 32, you know, required a deck reaction, and therefore you were also mentioning that basically gives a 32 impulse delay in firing between launches.
Yes. Right, right. So for tournament cruisers, I guess we would probably use the 20-speed variant.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. All right. So they start off doing 30 points of damage and taking 10 points of damage to destroy. And they can survive hit from an ADD.
Wow.
So, yeah. 10. Not necessarily. I think, let's see. And then, if you want, then there's, you know, the five different things you can do is that each one of them reduces its damage. Is you can put in anti-tractor, you can have it hit at range for reduced effect and a chance to miss. You can put ECM on it.
Yep.
You can give it some armor.
Mm-hmm.
You can, now here's one that I like. You can put anti-drones onto the amphibian.
Yep. It's called a Spitfire.
So that it shoots down other drones. Yeah. Now, isn't that something I've been saying that the Tachyon missile should have that capability or something similar?
Mm-hmm. But at the same time, with Tachyon missiles, the question is, how many of the other Omega empires have that many missiles systems?
Drones.
You know. I call them missiles because none of them really had drones.
Yeah. Right. Well, the FRA has drones. And let's see who else has missile weapons.
Yeah, but the question is, okay, well, again, Barry, the question is, even with the FRA, they have drones. Okay, big surprise. But what is it? What is it? I mean,
for
true.
Minor empire.
True. What is the big thing with the Alpha Octant when it comes to drones? And that is those launch platforms, i.e. like fighters.
Mm-hmm.
Did the FRA actually ever have fighters?
Yeah.
Right. How many carriers did it create? You know?
Yeah. Although, to tell you, yeah.
Because my understanding is the FRA was a relatively small empire in all of the Omega Octant. You know?
Right, right.
So, you know.
The Blasto had Tachyon missiles. And you could have Civil Wars. Mazarin's had a lot of civil wars, so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah, I know what you're saying, but in any case, Carnivans have
Carnivan, yeah, Carnivans. Yes. Yeah, well, the Carnivans, they were, what was their enemy? The Cities. No.
Who were they up against? The Zinni? Yeah.
The Zinni, yeah. That was their natural enemies.
Yeah. Right. And then the Death Bolts would be, if you put the Spitfire option on there, the Death Bolts and the Heel Nippers made a superb anti-drone weapon.
Yeah. Agreed.
Although the Heel Nippers might have been the better one of the two. Simply because it didn't take ammo. And for one point of power, you can basically stop four drones.
Mm-hmm.
as death against high speed drums. John Keith. He's got a 32 speed drone, and he'll never will take out even a large drone.
The Lemons, sorry, the Lemons and the Zinnies hated the Carnivans on site in their first contact in Y-55. More so even that they hated each other. The Carnivans attacked both feline empires in Y-56. As both lay exhausted from the first Lyran-Zinni War, drove wedge between the two, reaching the wind cluster in Y-65. What followed was a period of near peace as the Lyrans were busy fighting the Hydrans and the Zinni were preoccupied with the Klingons. The Carnivans were content to hold the territory they had, and the Feline Empires grudgingly left them alone. But in Y-106, the Zinnis launched a new war against the Carnivans, cleverly destroying one horde at a time. Knowing no other horde would come to their aid, Lyrans quickly followed suit. And only a few years, the war was over. Lyrans and Zinnis could find no more Carnivans to kill, but could not tell if they had destroyed all the planets or not. So, historically, two Carnivan hordes on the eastern end of the Carnivan territory were being attacked, one of the Zinnis and one by the Lyrans. Two briefly allied in an attempt to survive, but were finally over when the last of their ships dove into the reactive walls of the Wind Star Cluster, denying the Feline's last chance to kill them. The Winds later found the wreckage of the Carnivan ships on one of the planets, but no survivors.
Yeah. So here's an interesting one. The Spitfire test bolts.
Right.
Other than reducing the damage of the death bolt by up to 6 points of damage, so you go from a 30-point warhead to a 24-point warhead, but now you have six anti-drones.
Right.
So it does six anti-drones, and then it still has the base drone to hit something.
Mm-hmm.
That's freaking awesome.
Oh.
You can use that against fighters. You can use that against drones. That is awesome. That's probably the most commonly, I would imagine that would be the most commonly used variant of the Death Bolt.
It wouldn't surprise me. Now, did you see how the Death Bolt does damage?
Well, if in its base mode, it just does 30 points of damage for hits, and it takes 10 to kill it.
Yeah, but and the one thing you're missing is that when you launch the Death Bolt, you define an either leading, normal, or follow tracking.
Yeah.
So
you can have some adjustment on the shield that it hits on. Yeah.
Yep. So even if, let's say, it's quote unquote strikes shield number four, it might not actually hit shield number four. If it's a lead targeting, it's going to hit shield number three or shield number five. So, to me, that leads...
And that can be further adjusted with the heel ripper.
Yep. So, that makes it quite interesting. It makes it when it comes to that death bolt hitting at all, you're almost rolling the dice to a certain degree. Because you don't know exactly what shield it's going to hit. Which tracking is it? What kind of tracking is it specified on launch? You don't know. And actually, it's one thing I did not actually check, which is, I'm not sure if that's if that's revealed if you when you identify the death bolt. That's one thing I did not look up.
Oh, let me take a look.
I don't see. Because obviously it has to tell the target, but I'm not sure it has to tell the tracking. Because I don't see anything mentioned.
Right. Huh.
Yeah, this name's made in secret, yeah. Okay, I don't see anything about it when it comes to death bolt specified in the death bolt targeting section.
Right. It doesn't say that.
So my guess is that you don't have to announce it, even if the the opponent labs it.
Right. Wow, that's huge.
Yep.
Wait. Because, let's see.
Funny part, this, I'd have to double check on this when it comes to the quarry and the Scud missiles that the quarry had.
Right.
And I think they were supposed to be, you know, really slow, really slow, but do a lot of damage. And my guess is that these probably are much better missiles than the Scuds ever were. It's been a while since I looked at the Module C4 race Empires. Sorry, Gene.
Right. Yeah, death bolts are interesting. They're much more flexible and usable than drone racks.
Yes, but as got pointed out, there is that delay, especially when you want to customize.
That's true.
So,
but this whole ship is based on two-turn army.
Mm-hmm.
And with the heel nippers, you can get in close, turn your opponent, and then run away, and he may not be able to chase you if you turn him the correct direction and reset his turn mode.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes it much easier for a two-turn arming ship.
Mm-hmm. Now, actually, one thing I was thinking about when it comes to a terminal cruiser is I think it might have been better to use the command cruiser.
Mm-hmm. Command cruiser.
Yeah, it gives it.
Okay, now that one has the phaser twos.
Yeah. Rear extended. So that'll help with that. Now, obviously,
And it has two extra.
Right. And two extra what?
Is that command cruiser a little bit overkill?
Nah, I don't think so.
Okay.
Well, to me, here's
two
what
extra ATRs.
Right, here's the one thing, the reason why I say that, is the amount of power that's on it.
Gives you two more power.
It's got what? 37 power total?
39.
Oh, there's the two APR.
On the command cruiser, and 39 on the... What's that?
Yeah, I just noticed the extra two. So it's 37 on the heavy cruiser, 39 on the command cruiser.
Okay.
I'm not... originally, I was suggesting going to suggest also converting the APRs to AWRs. But with 39 power, I'm less likely to say that at this moment in time for a tournament cruiser.
Right.
Because as is, it's not like the disruptor cannons require 4 points of warp power. Only requires 2 points of warp power per.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's doable. And you only have a maximum of 2 additional warp power cost when it comes to heel nippers.
Yeah.
Now, one thing I don't think they do. I forgot to check about the heel nippers, which is whether you can hold them.
Heel nippers? No, I don't think you can.
Nope. I'm just looking at the weapon status. It just says, heel nippers are not multi-turn weapon and cannot hold energy from the previous turn. Whoa, which to me means that if you charge it and you don't use up all the energy, you have to announce a discharge, would be my guess when it comes to heel nippers.
Armed heel nippers cannot be held and fired on a later turn. If the heel nipper is not fired on the turn it is armed, it is automatically discharged at the end of the turn.
Bingo.
Energy applied to it is lost and cannot be regained. Discharge does not constitute firing the weapon, does not delay the firing weapon.
Right.
Okay, but you can detect that.
Right, but basically you have to announce that you discharge it. I'm not sure if you have to announce how much energy you discharge, but you have to definitely announce a discharge. I'd have to double check on E1.24 because it's possible in E1.24 it actually says, you have to announce how much energy you're discharging. I'm just curious about that really quick. E.24 discharge. Right, act is conducted. The final phase, the amount of energy discharge from each weapon is known unless otherwise defined. So the amount of energy discharge has to be announced.
Okay. I'm starting to fall asleep here, and I early wake up.
Okay. Then I will let you go then.
Okay.
Okay. Well, you have a good night.
Good night. Hopefully I'll see you next week.
Yep. Same here.
Yep. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Okay. Well, we got to hear Barry's take on the Carnivons. I will actually continue the podcast. I got another topic I'm going to bring up real quick, actually. And it is actually big surprise. The Andromeda. Now, there is a discussion on the discussion board. So if you really want, if you're really interested in it, it might be a good topic to go and seek out. It's under the proposed ship changes when it comes to the tournament zone. Now, currently, it seems like there's been an agreement that at the very least, that the Andromeda needs an additional TRL. Honestly, I think it needs 2 TRHs. And one thing that Brian Evans was pointing out, and that his recollection of the 3 TRL is that power was a huge issue. And that's one thing I totally forgot about. Actually, in my mind, the problem is that with 3 TRLs, now you have, instead of 4 points of power towards your TRs, you got 6 points of power. That's 2 additional points of power. So, the Andromeda might need more power. And I never thought about that, but I have to agree, because currently, here's the thing. I've flown the Andromeda. When it comes to energy, right now, the energy is good for the weapons that it has. It has two TRLs. Given the two TRLs, it's got enough power to energize them. Yes, it can't do that and keep running around the board without causing issues, because, big surprise, the Andromeda is always using battery power. When you do that, and Lord knows I know, if you want to try to keep up your speed, you're going to be using battery power no matter what with the current one. So to me, what that tells me is that the Andromeda currently, when it comes to power to weapons ratio, is dead on. Now, given that fact, I disagree with the three TRLs is the way to go. I truly believe that it's two TRHs, and we need at the very least two more points of power to offset that. Now, yeah, at least two more points of power on that, because of you as an Andromedan, I feel like, because it's a two-turn-on weapon, you need the ability to go through another person's shield. You have to have the ability, because the Fed, the Klingon, even the Klingon, let's say the Klingon at range 8, that's 24 points of damage at range 8. Plus the phasers, you know, so you might get up like 33 points of damage at range 8. The Andromeda is lucky, and I do mean very, very freaking lucky, if it gets round 15 at range 8. At range 0, at that point, then if you center line it perfectly, then you can get a maximum at the moment. Let me say a maximum, 36 plus 20 is 56 points of damage. That's if you're range zero. That means the phaser twos do their maximum points of damage, which is 6 points of damage. But you have to be at range zero. Can you imagine trying to get at a Klingon at range zero? Or even a Liren at range zero? Or even a Zinni at range zero? Can you imagine being at range zero? You've got, let's say the Zinni has this phaser 3, it's going to be really nasty. If the Zinni fires six phaser 3s, it fires 4 overloaded photons. And it will then actually overload, you know, and then you got, okay, so maximum 40 points of damage for the disruptors. The phasers, I think they max out at 8, no, not, I'm pretty sure it's 9 points of damage per phaser. Let's say that's 4. That's 36 points of power. It's 76. Then you've got another, let's say 4 to 6 phaser 3s. Let's be lenient. Let's say 4. 4 phaser 3s will give you another 16 points. So that's over 90 points of power, 90 points of damage. And that's basically, then the Andromeda's dead. I'm sorry. The current one is just way, way too. The amount of weapon it needs is a lot more. I think defensively, it's good. I would like to have it. If we really wanted to start tweaking it, as I pointed out before, I think that the way to tweak it would be to actually going and you have it down to two batteries, but then add an energy module into the hanger and do it that way. If you really wanted to go crazy with trying to tweak the Andromeda to be as even-handed as possible, I think that would be the way to go. Now, I think we can create a Andromeda that's competitive without that, without, you know, trying to introduce a system which can actually cause some issues, you know, when it comes to balance. That's the possibility of there's might be some balance issues versus the, a simple solution, go from two TRLs to two TRHs plus two power. And I think you have the best way of going. So with that, I think we'll wrap this up for this evening. Barry had a wonderful, got to hear Barry's take on the Carnivons. Obviously, he really thought that had some interesting weapon systems, especially when it comes to the heel nipper and the death bolts. Obviously, we both see the issue with the death bolts. That is, the death bolts have the issue with when you want to have those custom death bolts. Unlike the drones, where you have to preset them up, but there's no delay. With the death bolts, with every tweak you do, because in theory, no one says you can only have one tweak. You can have multiple tweaks. It just means that it takes longer and longer and longer and longer to actually tweak that death bolt. Now, in a terminating situation, the question would be, of course, would you allow those players for the first load to have tweaked, as many tweaks as they want to their death bolts? I don't know. You just have to wait and see. So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.